Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
When we are talking about in the Christian circles, words like boundaries, distance, and so forth, these are sometimes treated as dirty words, viewed as a failure to truly exemplify the love of God. We're told to turn the other cheek, right? That's more Christian. To keep keeping the peace and to always unlock the door to the family. To give and never expect anything in return. But is truth simply the absence of conflict, true peace? Is it just the absence of conflict? As long as there's no conflict, therefore there is peace, there's unity? When a parental relationship, for example, as we look to our theme of the week and I'll make it practical here, we've been talking parenting, right, and honoring our parents. When parental relationships are marked by manipulation, by gaslighting, by addiction or emotional cruelty, one might argue that boundaries are not just healthy, they are holy and necessary. As we continue with our series, we want to examine how setting strict limits can actually be an expression of biblical honor, of protecting both our souls and our parents from continuing to sin. If you are currently feeling guilty for saying no to a parent, maybe let's dive deep into the architecture of holy boundaries as we share with our pastor, Mfundisi Mutoya. Pastor, good morning to you and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Thank you. We continue with our theme of the week here, talking about honoring our parents as per the commandment of God in Exodus chapter 20, verses 12. Can one drawing boundaries, and I'm talking firm ones now, with a parent, maybe a toxic parent, such as refusing to engage in manipulative conversations, actually be an act of biblical love when you do that? Or maybe we are encroaching our responsibilities as children who ought to honor our parents.
Can one draw a firm boundary? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's the answer, yes. The reason is simple, because we as children of God, we are taught, for example, from Proverbs 13, verse 3, that if you guard your lips, you preserve, the lives, and if you guard someone's lips, you preserve their lives. In mm-hmm. other words, you are preventing the sinning. You are preventing this particular person to continue sinning. So to me, it's a yes. When you set boundaries, it's actually a yes. Yeah, of course, others will say no, but now that is tough love. I think when you look at biblical love, it's not passive. Yeah, it's mm. not passive. It's surely tough love. Yeah, all the way. It's just tough love. Mm. Yes. Even when you look at the cross itself, I mean, Jesus saying, "Why have you forsaken me?" Let this cup pass, in the garden there, sweating blood. All that is tough love. Mm. So you can tell that, yes, you need to set these boundaries, because you see, the Bible literally says, this is Jesus himself, he's summarizing the commandments, and he says, okay, here's a commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
Now, that's very interesting there. You know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. In other words, don't love your neighbor, and in your expression of your love for another person, you are actually hurting yourself. No. Then the Lord says, no, that is not correct. It's like those old grandparents who would, advise us that don't accept a shirt from somebody who has no shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can only accept a shirt from somebody who is having one. So the real issue here is that it's not only for that person. Okay. It's also for your mental health. It's also for your faith in God. Mm. It's also for your emotional stability. Yes. So when you set those boundaries, and it's true, a child can be filled with guilty to set boundaries, you know, but I think what is important is for you to know that you are not a savior, and then you need to know that actually you cannot control your parents' choices, or maybe stop them to some extent from being toxic elsewhere. Yeah. But what you have is you do have a stewardship over your own life. Mm. You are managing your own life. You make smart choices for your own life. Yes. And you have authority over your own life. Mm. And that's why you need to set those boundaries. Yes. It's true. The Bible says honor your parents. That's great. That's important there. But we love the way it is written in Ephesians. It says, in the Lord.
Yeah, in the Lord indeed. I want to talk about some extremes, Mfundisi, and have you speak to the dangers of trading in either one. One being where we believe so much in quote-unquote peace that we never want to confront anything because we just want an atmosphere of peace, especially in parent-child relationships. What's the danger of that approach? And then also the other one where you become overly, strict, right? When you talk of these boundaries, you're saying we must set boundaries. Can they come to a point where you're like, no, but this is no longer boundaries. It's trading into some space which is maybe even unholy, where you're just extremely critical and extremely judgmental and extremely punitive even in the approach that you're saying, and just you're hiding behind the mask of, no, it's boundaries. Talk to us about how it becomes unhealthy to be on either side of these two extremes.
Well, thank you very much. I think the first one you were talking about is true, that sometimes we want peace, and we say, well, me, I'm a peacemaker, and so on. But some of it, you realize that it is driven by a desire to avoid discomfort, by a desire to avoid conflicts, by a desire to avoid social tension. And to some extent, it's driven by the desire to maintain a political correctness with the setting which is there at that particular time, which is from the environment informing the culture of that particular time. So we want to be, correct. So really, when you look at this, you discover that when it is the parent-child, sometimes it's where real issues are happening and you're sweeping them under the carpet. Mm. Okay. Mm. Real issues are happening and you are just ignoring the misbehaving. You're just ignoring the manipulation. You're just ignoring things that are real. And you know, the danger for that one, let me just comment a little bit. It was not in your question, but let me comment a little bit. Mm. The danger for that one is that it will not just be happening to you. It will be extended to other people.
Yes.
While you are claiming you want to maintain peace. In fact, let me put it this way, that sometimes it's not even being a peacemaker. It's just out of fear. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know. And it's just out of fear. And sometimes it's even fear for the anger that may come on you. Yeah, sometimes it's fear for the inconvenience that you think you cause in the family. Sometimes it's fear for rejection. You were rejected somewhere here and there. You don't want to be rejected again. So you allow anything and everything so that there is no rejection. But in the long run, you will suffer from anxiety. You will suffer from resentment. In the long run, you suffer from emotional baggage. This is like unresolved trauma.
Yeah.
Well, your other question was, can you go also to the extreme?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that one is very true. Very, very true. Actually, we have seen a lot who go to the extreme, which is also not good. And some of them is because they are bitter, and they are bitter over some things that have nothing to do with that parent.
Okay.
They are bitter because maybe they have failed in their decision making in certain areas. They are bitter because of some other things in their own life. Maybe these psychologists have also another issue they talk about, where that when someone's life is not in harmony with their real deep down values. Mm. They have values, but yet their life, like in practice, their life where they are now is not in harmony. For example, if somebody is addicted to wrong habits. So you find because of that, they want to put the blame on the parent. Yes.
Yeah.
They want to put the blame on the parent. And that's where now they'll go to the other extreme. Yes. So even where the parent is not crossed the boundary, they still want to blame the parent. They still want to heap everything on the parent because of their own issues which they are dealing with. Yes. And that's where you can tell that, oh, this one I think needs a counselor. Yes, you see. Mm-hmm. So yes, I want to say there are people who go extreme and there are people who go to the other extreme. But I think what is important is for us to know that in the Lord, we must honor our parents.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for that. Thank you so much. When the old man Paul is advising his spiritual son, the young elder Timothy, in chapter 5 of his first letter, he says, don't rebuke an older person. It just doesn't seem right? But rather appeal to them as if they were your father. And this is a sense that parents, you can't rebuke or speak harshly towards it, no matter how angry you are. And I think that's where sometimes the challenge comes through when you talk about boundaries. To say, how do you then communicate to them to a parent? Do you just maybe institute and not say? Then they will just see and read between the lines and say, oh, okay, now this is the new normal. Or do you find a way to express it and maybe do it and tell them what you're now going to be doing and what things are going to look like now going forward? And how do you do that?
Wow, that's a very important question there. Well, I think number one, we could say what works best now is what we could call emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Yes, emotional intelligence. In other words, those words that were spoken to Timothy, they are very much applicable to us today.
Okay.
Actually, that's what we call wisdom. Yes, and respectively, you need to use to engage emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I think that is very, very important is that you see, when you're speaking, don't speak like you are the saint and the parent is the evil one. Yes. No, don't condemn your parent. Yes, even when it is clear that they could be the ones on the wrong, but don't condemn. When you use what is known as the I statements. Yes. The I statement is where you are able to say, you know what, daddy, you know what, mom, I feel this way. You know what, this is how I felt. This is how I am looking at things. This is how I am. You're sharing your own side of the story. It's different from when you said, you know what, of all the parents, you are the worst. Of all the parents, you are failures. Of all the parents, you are evil. Of all the parents, you are just useless. I wish I had other parents. No, you just share how you feel. Yes. And when you share how you feel, you discover it's going to help very, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that is important in the I messages is that you need, to have in one paragraph share some gratitude. Yes. Mm-hmm. Share some gratitude. Is there something that you appreciate in this parent? So you're able to share what you appreciate in this parent.
Okay.
And then that's when you go on the other area where you think you were not treated well, you were not, you were not handled well, and so on. In other words, you start with commendation, then you come to recommendations. And then you say, now, from now on, this is how I think myself should be.
Okay.
Yes. And by the end of the day, you are reassuring your parents of your love, of your respect, and you are also reassuring them that there are only these areas that needs to be improved, but you appreciate them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You appreciate them. The other thing that is important, really, is that don't do it to humiliate them.
Mm.
So if that is the case, don't wait for a family meeting when there are 30 people who have gathered. That's when you want to hammer your father or your mother.
Yes.
No, that is not right. So you do it for the purpose of improvement, for the purpose of self-care, for the purpose of self-love, so that you protect yourself. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. Respect or honor in the Lord. So you're doing it for this purpose, for your relationship, not to humiliate them, not to embarrass them. Yes. So once you get that, then it shall be well. And maybe the last one I could say is that don't do it on a day or an hour when you are angry. No matter how wise you are, no matter how right you are, when you are angry, you are already wrong. When you're angry with your father or your mother, and you want to handle this issue while you're angry, oh, by the way, you're already wrong. You're already wrong because you speak so fast and you speak certain things without thinking about them.
Yeah.
And the other technique I can give myself is that today it's even easier. You can try to type something on your phone or laptop or tablet, or you can write something. Mm-hmm. It will help you on how, when you're speaking to them, it will be in a logical and orderly manner.
Yes.
Because when you write, you're able to shift this paragraph to this one. And no, I think I need to start with this and come to this. And my conclusion should be this one, and so on. So you're able to do that. And you can even now go to them and say, I have three things I want to share with you.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
So that in case while you're sharing, they get angry, you still say, well, I see that really emotionally now. Angry, but I had promised you that I have three, so I'm remaining with only one.
Mm.
Let me go to this one because you had written them, so you're going to handle the situation quite well. The whole thing is, even yourself, in your heart, you must respect your parent. In other words, it should not be from the lips that I respect you, Daddy. No. From your attitude, from the inner you, respect them in the Lord, and you discover that you are able to communicate with them, and they'll still see that you respect them.
Certainly, certainly. For instance, I want us to wrap it up quickly with this one here. I think the one place that the Bible actually speaks about a boundary that must be instituted between a parent and a child is in the space of marriage. I mean, the Bible says in Genesis that the child or the man must leave his parents and cleave to his wife and so forth.
Mm.
Talk to us then about how we handle that, especially when parents are so accustomed to be part of their children's lives, especially mothers and their sons, right? The communication, the support emotionally and financially and so forth. How do they institute such a boundary, and what does it mean when parents now demand priority over a spouse to say, but wait a minute, we are your parents, we are blood.
You are very right. Wow. That's a sweet question there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says, the man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one.
Yeah.
Ah, the two shall become one. That is the goal. That is the objective. That is the aim. That is the blueprint of God himself about marriage. It's about oneness, just like Trinity. It's about oneness. So this oneness cannot be achieved in marriage if there is no living. Yes. So in other words, the oneness is not there when there is no cleaving. The cleaving is not there when there is no living.
Yeah.
Yes. So the living and the cleaving is very, very important. So yes, actually this one is the sweetest of them all. We need to just obey God's word that we need to live.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that this is one verse that Jesus quoted verbatim, like word for word and commas and so on. He quoted it in Matthew chapter 19. And you read verse 5 and you go also to verse 6. Jesus quotes this particular verse. Okay, it's so important a verse that he even says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Let no man put asunder in the King James Version. Let no man put asunder or let no man separate.
Yeah.
So the oneness and the cleaving will only happen when there is the living. So yes, there must be this particular place where you should cut the authority and the dependence on your parent when you choose to marry. So maybe we could say it in this other way, that marriage is not for boys and girls. Marriage is for an adult.
Yeah.
So when you are an adult, you must know that here you are making a step where you will be required, not suggested, but required to cut the authority and dependence upon your parents, so that you cut that, so that now you live emotionally, you live financially, you live physically, you totally live, so that you go and establish your oneness with your spouse. That's how it is. You now establish your oneness with your spouse. And that bond is the one that God is looking for. That there should be that bond where you are one. Yes. And he says, what God has put together, let no man separate. So it is God himself who is saying, yes, the issue of honor, you must honor. But you see, the Bible is saying, while it is lifelong, it involves respect, care in their old age, listening to their wisdom, treating them with dignity. These are your parents now, okay? And then when you talk about obedience and priority, it belongs to God first. Yes, it belongs to God first. So an adult child no longer obeys parents at the expense of their spouse. No. They honor their parents. They'll still respect them, care for them, and take care of it. But the authority itself is no longer with their parents.
Yeah, it's no longer with their parents. What a lesson. What a lesson, right? And I think some of these things we... And I love the point you raised. Because we take things for granted that we think the Bible is being exacting, is being harsh, but the point you raised was the underscore of everything. Marriage is not for children, it's not for boys and girls. It's for adults who are then trained to deal with such type of requirements and responsibilities. So profound, certainly. Womboroti, thank you so much once again for sharing with us, and we appreciate you. Let's meet again in our next session, our closing session, as we conclude.
Sure. Thank you very, very much. I think we really appreciate for today's lesson, where we have learned that honoring your parent is no longer submitting to their control, but rather is to love them, to respect them, and also to enforce boundaries, even in marriage. Thank you so very much, and keep hope alive.
Thanks, Maruti. Same to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.